Martina. We lead the campus ministry here in central London. Just tried to move this, but apparently must stay here. That's fair enough. I love that Ian and Daniel are wearing the same checkered shirt. I think that's awesome. I wish I'd got the memo. I'd have brought out the checkness. Last time we were here, it was ages ago. It was last year. It was actually here for a carol service. We were here with the permanent residents here, the Swiss Church, and there was an amazing carol service here, very angelic voices. And I don't know, for some of you that were here, I don't know whether you had a favourite or not, but I had a favourite. Most of them, you know, they were very angelic, very, very nice, almost like on songs of praises. But there was this one who was just... She was into it. You know, it was almost like something out of Sister Act. I don't know exactly what it was like, but it was amazing. And I saw her on the tube the other day, and I was like, yes, it's you! But, anyway. Just thinking about memories. How is everybody? Good, excellent. Well, with that spirit, today we're going to talk about the end times. Now we're going to talk about the end times today. I don't have an agenda, it's just where we are in Luke. So let's turn to Luke chapter 21, and we'll be starting in verse 5. Luke 21, verse 5. Luke 21, verse 5. The happy subjects of the end times. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming, I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against its people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see that these things are happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening, he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. Wow. Quite a scripture. Quite sobering. And it's actually quite a difficult scripture to interpret, because it's describing all things that happen in the future. All things that some of which may have happened, some of which are may going to happen. And so it's actually a very difficult scripture to interpret. And many have made the attempt to interpret it and failed miserably and made fools of themselves. And so I'm not going to do that today. I may make a fool of myself in other ways, but with this particular point, I'm not going to do that. And actually, it's very difficult to interpret something that hasn't actually happened, and it's very difficult to understand something that hasn't actually happened until it actually has happened. That's a very obvious thing to say, but it's very true, especially in terms and in relation to the kinds of things that we're talking about here. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Many have made predictions along the way, including, as we know, last year, Harold Camping thought the world was going to end. Didn't happen. Same this year as well. Apparently the world is going to end. Many people have constantly made predictions throughout the years. Billy Graham brought out a book on 88 Reasons Why Christ is Coming Back in 1988. There was a sequel in 1989. 89 Reasons Why He's Coming Back in 1989. You know, people are constantly making predictions that don't come true. Let's read in Isaiah 53 from verse 4. Isaiah 53, verse 4. It reads, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? But he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Now to us reading today, it can be quite clear, quite obvious, that this is talking about Jesus. Especially when we read the New Testament, and we read the account that we see there. For me, coming from a non-religious background, this was very clear to me. Okay, this is talking about Jesus. Imagine what the listeners must have thought back then. 700 years before we actually see this take place, would they have been perfectly able to connect with this and Jesus dying on the cross? I don't think so. I don't think I would have been able to. They could only understand it, we can only understand it when it actually happens. And it's the same with the scripture, this scripture that we are at in Luke 21. Until it actually happens, it all happens, we won't fully understand it. As I say, some of it has happened, but some of it hasn't necessarily happened. So what we're actually going to focus on today, a bit like what Rory shared, was we're going to focus on the heart. We're not going to focus so much on the dates and when this is going to happen, when that's going to happen, but we're going to focus on the heart. First point is, what are you attracted to? What are you attracted to? We see here, at the beginning of Luke 21, from at verse 5, that some of the, it says in verse 5, some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Now they're at the temple. They're walking around the temple. And what are they focusing on? They're focusing on how pretty it looks. How nice and shiny it looks. A bit like a baby sees nice and shiny things and loves it. They're focusing on that. But Jesus points out that these things are going to be destroyed. They're not going to last. They are temporary. They're all going to go away. Today's society is very much focused on the nice and shiny things. It's what influences us. It's what draws us to things. It's what attracts us to things. When we think about politics, it started from the 60s. We have Nixon and we have Kennedy. Most of the people that listened to Nixon thought that he had won by what he shares. The Nixon and Kennedy had television debates, and they all thought Nixon had won. But they hadn't. The American public voted on image. It voted on what they could see. And it's the same today. Politics is like that today. Very much a PR thing. We have Cameron, a PR background. You know, it's very much the appearance and not the actual substance. Not the actual message. And what are you drawn by? What are you attracted to? Is it the outward appearance? Is it just what you can see? Or is it the substance? Let's have a look at what Jesus looks at. Let's read verses 1 to 4. Rory may have referred to this in Mark. But in verses 1 to 4 of chapter 21 of Luke, it says, as he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts in the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small coins. I tell you the truth, he said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she gave out of her poverty. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. The disciples, they were looking at how pretty the temple looked. Jesus was looking at the heart. He was looking at the woman's heart and what she put in. And how do you look at people? Do you look at people just by what they can do, just by what they can bring to you, just by what they look like? Or do you look at their heart? Do you look at really what's inside? You know, sometimes I look at somebody and I look at whether they're doing A, B, or C. And that's how I judge them, or that's how I like them. This is not what God does. He doesn't judge us just solely on the basis of what we do. We're not judged by that. He looks at the heart. And how do we view Christianity? How do we look at it? What do we base our opinion on? Is it on what we've just heard? Is it just on an impression?
or do we judge on the substance?
Thank you. You know, look into it. Look at the substance. Don't judge it on the outward. Look into the substance and study the Bible. Second point, who are you following? Who are you following? Let's read verses 7 and 8. It says, "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they're about to take place?" He replies, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be affrighted. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Who are you following? The disciples quite logically ask, okay, the temple is going to collapse, there's going to be no stone on another. When is this all going to happen? Very logical question. Jesus doesn't answer them directly at all. He says, "Watch out that you are not deceived." Rather, he focuses on who are you following? You know, where are you placing what you focus on? We all follow something. We all follow somebody. Thousands and millions follow Sarah Palin on Twitter. Please help us. But we all follow something. Bob Dylan wrote a track, "You've Got to Serve Somebody." Ultimately, we all put ourselves into something. We all follow something. The lyric of that track is, it might be, this is Bob Dylan, "It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody." You know, we all follow something. Where does who you follow, where does that lead to? Where does maybe your hero, maybe your politician, maybe your job, where do all these things lead to? Where do they ultimately lead to? You know, ultimately, these things are all temporary. If Jesus points out here that what one says, all these things will be gone. These things won't last. But ultimately, following Jesus, that leads to a relationship with God. That leads to peace. And that leads to heaven. Something that isn't temporary at all, but something that lasts forever. You know, who are you following today? Take some time and look into the one person that will lead to ultimate peace. That's Jesus. And then that's the second point. The third point is, are your eyes open? Are your eyes open? First point was, what are you attracted to? Second, who are you following? And third, are your eyes open? Yesterday, had a lovely date in the hood, Thornton Heath. Come on. Come on, Dean. Yes. Thornton Heath. And Caroline and I, we went and we watched Crystal Palace, the Mighty Eagles. We played Leeds United. It was 1-1 in the end. It was a very emotional match, I must say. And what I really loved was Caroline was very, very passionate. She really got into the match. She was really passionate about the decisions, about what was going to happen, to the point where there was one point where, I have to say, the ref was a bit dodgy, and I'll come to that. But there was this dodgy challenge, and the crowd were going off, 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 off. And so we were, joining in, off, off. And then I heard, off, 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 off with his head. And, she was really, really passionate. She was really, really passionate about it. And also, though, she was so passionate that she couldn't always watch the game. Obviously the rare occasion where they may have scored a goal. And that rare occasion, she couldn't always watch it. You know, sometimes her eyes were a bit like that. Her eyes weren't always open to the game. And I have to say, It was a bit like that with the ref. There were some dodgy decisions.
Absolute dodgy decisions. And I wondered, at many times,
ref, are your eyes open? Are you watching?
And this can be the same in a spiritual sense as well.
It can be the same in a spiritual sense. Sometimes our spiritual eyes are not open at all. We can get bogged down in the detail, and the detail is even completely relevant, but miss the big picture. Miss really what God is trying to do. And this has happened with this particular scripture, where so much emphasis, so much time is spent on what's the exact date when the world is going to end. It's interesting. One of the things that is predicted here that has happened is the temple being destroyed. 70 years after Jesus was born, the temple was destroyed. And it talks and discusses here about how everyone should leave.
And no one should be left in Jerusalem at this time. And it's interesting, the largest community to survive
was a group of Christians
who fled the city. They paid
attention to this prophecy. They paid attention
to the warning, to what was being said here.
And they fled. Many didn't. And many, many, many people died.
You know, their eyes were open.
And what about your eyes? Are your eyes open today
to what God wants to do? To the relationship that God wants to have with you?
Not exactly when the world is going to end, but the fact that there is only one person to truly follow.
There's only one person that
truly brings complete happiness. And I don't believe that you're here by chance.
I don't believe that anybody
of us are here by chance. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17.
We'll be reading verses from verse 24. Acts 17, verse 24.
I don't believe we're here by chance. Acts 17, verse 24. It reads, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, and that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." You know, nothing happens for a reason. We're not here just by chance. I'm not here just by chance. When I think about the times and the places in my own life that it took for me to be here, I realise that it wasn't just by chance. How do any of us come to know God? How do any of us come to a relationship with God?
We need to have the opportunity. And many of us,
if our parents are disciples, have that opportunity. I didn't have that opportunity.
My parents are atheists. They don't believe in God.
I grew up in a lifestyle of going to clubs, alcohol, drugs, etc., etc. And God had to bring me to a point where I realised that
this is king. I'm deeply, deeply unhappy.
This is, I used to think about what's going to happen when I die.
The fact that I never see my loved ones again.
It used to deeply upset me. And it pushed me to question, why am I here?
What is that?
And this doesn't happen with all of us, But God, in each individual way,
He sets the times and places. He gives us an opportunity to know Him.
I think that's the reason why you're here today.
We have an opportunity to know Him. Sometimes I bump into people
and have a good chat with them, and they say, "Oh,
when God gives me a sign, then I'll
look into it more. Then
it'll be clear. What kind of sign do you want? Then there's an opportunity to know it. But are your eyes open? Think even for Christians, even
for disciples, are our eyes open to what God is trying to do
with us? You maybe have financial difficulties. Maybe you have difficulties with your family. Maybe you have social difficulties.
You know, whatever it is, you know, it's easy to look at these different aspects, different things, and think, "Oh my goodness, what is going on here?"
Rather than an opportunity for God to refine your character, rather than an opportunity for God to help you. You know, open your eyes. It's so,
so important. And take the opportunity to know God. In conclusion, ultimately, what are you attracted to? Is it the outward appearance?
Is it what you can see? Or is it the substance?
Make it the substance. Make how you judge
Christianity on the substance. On Jesus, the man, on what he taught.
Not the religiosity that you may see. And secondly, who are you following?
It's great to have ambitions. It's great to do
lots of amazing things. It's great to have heroes
and people we admire. But where is our heart? Who are we following? Ultimately,
Jesus is the one that will lead us to true happiness. And finally, you know, are your eyes open?
This is an opportunity right here. An opportunity right here to know God and to know Him better. Amen. Thanks for listening.